Well, hey, Bethany, hope you're doing great today. If this is your very first time with us, my name is Matt, and I'm just grateful that you're in this room with us today. It's not always easy walking into a church for the very first time. You may not know that we're one church that meets at multiple locations. So, of course, we have this campus here at Washington. We also are meeting at Vincennes and Princeton. There are hundreds of people that we're speaking to right now that are beyond this room, and I want to welcome them all in as well as we start this new series that's titled Illuminate. So it's a great day to start with us if this is a brand new day for you here at Bethany. This series is all about how we can show the light of Christ into people that are in spiritual darkness. And Christ has basically said to us very simply that we are the light of the world. And I know you can spin that a lot of ways and say, well, we're just a reflection of the light, or we're not really the light. No, Jesus said in its most simplest form that you are the light of the world. That's to simply say that you're the hope of this world, that you're the joy, the peace. You're all the things who Jesus is. That's who you are to be to this world. And so this world doesn't have Jesus with us right now in the flesh. And so Jesus says, I'm leaving you to be the light of who I am to others who don't know me. So is your life so attractive that you're leading people to Jesus? Because when they see you, they see the light of Christ within you. Because that's my hope. My hope is that you're not one of these Christians that's highly judgmental. You're not a Christian that is hypocritical. That you're someone that's truly displaying the light of Jesus Christ. And I love these kinds of sermons for a few reasons. Number one, they're simple. And simple sermons are always the most challenging sermons. And the reason why they're so challenging is because the simplicity of it is hard to do, to consistently live for Christ. And may your life be illuminating Jesus to others. That's not always easy because we have our own agenda, we have our own ways, and sometimes we're just forgetful to be illuminating Christ into people's world. But also this extends our reach and it helps us to identify people in our life that are far removed from God. Listen, I've got loved ones in my life that are running from God right now. They're running from God. And I want them walking with God, don't you? And I'm sure you could say the very same thing, whether it's a coworker or a spouse or a child or a parent. You've got someone in your life that if you were to take a snap poll right now of them, you would discover that they're outside of Christ, they're running from the Lord, and they're in what we would call spiritual darkness. God says to all of us through Christ, be a light to this world, be a light to their darkness. Friends, that's one of the hallmarks of this church. Is that we have been a light to our communities, regardless of where we're at, in Washington or Princeton or Vincennes, but to simply allow Jesus Christ to shine brightly through us and not get our personal agendas in the way of all that. And what I want you to do today is to follow through with some things that we're asking of you and challenging you to do. So in just a little while, we're going to ask you to go to one of our light boards at one of our campuses. And here at Washington, it's just right out these doors and to the right and connects a couple of our buildings together. There's a huge light board that says Jesus, filled with about 2,800 sockets that are looking for somebody to put a name on a light bulb of someone who is in darkness that you will specifically shine the light of Christ into. And then you take that bulb, if you've written that name on there of that loved one, and you place it in the board and you'll see the name of Jesus be illuminated. That's what we're asking for you to do in the lives of those that you love. There's a great harvest coming, and I know that. And I know you hear people say all the time, listen, people don't like church today, Matt. People don't like Christians today. Yeah, they may not, but they love Jesus. That you can have 1,000 things to say negative about me, and you can have probably 1,000 things to say negative about this church. But I'll tell you what, I don't know anybody that has anything negative to say about Jesus, do you? People are hungry and thirsty for Jesus if we just get out of the way. They're hungry and thirsty for Jesus. You don't believe me? We're able today to celebrate more than 120 baptisms this year already. That's pretty amazing. The people have gone from death to life. They found themselves in darkness and in light. So whoever that person is that you find trapped in darkness, you keep praying, you keep waiting, and you keep loving. Because I know there's this adage that we're leading to people to Jesus. We're not leading people to Jesus. We're loving people to Jesus. We're not whipping people there. All we're doing is showing that Jesus is the answer. He's the way, he's the truth, and he's the light. Listen, you can't lead a horse to water, can you? You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. But you can put salt in his oats. And you can put some salt in your oats as you demonstrate who Jesus Christ is to these folks that are around you. And here's why this is important. So simple, but why it's important. Because you and I have been called to be the light. That's simple, right? Look at Matthew chapter 5 with me. It's in one of the most basic teachings of Jesus. It's found in the Sermon of the Mount. And Jesus says that we're to be two things as believers, as followers. We're to be salt and we're to be light. And he starts off immediately and he talks about who we are as salt. But I really want to fixate on the light. Matthew 5, verse 13 says that Jesus is teaching, you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? He says it's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and to be trampled underfoot. That's talking about preserving the world with the goodness of who Christ Jesus is in this world. But verse 14 says, you're the light of the world. Friends, listen, light is its brightest when it is the darkest. And some of you can complain all you want about how dark it is in this world right now. And I would probably agree with you. Some of you would go, you know what? Things are worse than they were 20 years ago. Things are worse than they were in the 1950s. Yeah, they are. So how about we just be a greater light in the inkier blackness of the darkness of this world? Because that's what Christ taught us to be. And he says a town built on a hill cannot be hidden. So some of you think that your faith is private. No, it's personal, but it's never been private. It's a public faith. And that's why Jesus says, a town on a hill can't be hidden, neither do people light a lamp and put it in their bowl. So it's a personal faith, but it's not a private faith. He says, instead, they put it on a stand and it gives light to everyone in the house, meaning it illuminates everyone that is in that darkness. The light comes in and shines brightly so everyone can finally see. Your faith is to be demonstrated. It's to be seen. That's the intention. Verse 16, in the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds. So there's obviously some kind of action, a verb that goes along with this. You're doing something good for others. You're bringing something good into their world. That's the light, so that they may glorify whom? You? No. So they can glorify your Father in heaven. And Jesus tells us, don't dim your light. You heard the old This Little Light of Mine song, right? I'm going to let it shine, not going to hide under a bush. Oh no, not going to let it shine. Some of us, we know how to dim it out when we're with certain people in certain situations. We know when to shine it and we know when to turn it off, like there's a switch. Jesus says there is no switch. You're a city on a hill. You're to illuminate the darkness of people's lives. And for everyone who thought this was a private matter, Jesus kind of puts that out there and says, it ain't no private matter. Your faith is a public faith. Now, you have personal faith, but it's to be demonstrated publicly. So listen, I'm encouraging you today to love people. To love people. Just simply love people. Shine your light and love them unconditionally. Serve them unconditionally. Inspire them unconditionally. Be the kind of person that you want to be around. You know what I'm talking about? Some of you right now, you'd be like, man, if I had to hang out with me, I wouldn't want to even hang out with me. Brighten up someone's life by illuminating Christ. Be the presence of Jesus to someone who's in darkness. That's what Jesus is teaching us here. You met those kind of people that when they show up and they enter a room, they're just like a breath of fresh air, man. You want to be around them. You don't want them to leave. Listen, some people bring joy when they enter a room. Some people bring joy when they leave the room. You be the person that brings joy when you enter. How about that? You lift. You be like the tide and lift everybody's spirits, raise all boats in the harbor as you come in. I've been so interested lately in watching Division I NCAA football. I don't know if you've been paying attention to Coach Prime or not in Colorado. Deion Sanders, who was an amazing football player, amazing Major League Baseball player, but now is coaching young men and doing an awesome job at it. Listen, I don't know what your feelings are. You either love him or hate him. I absolutely have a man crush on this guy right now, okay? This guy has blown me away, and if you're a leader in any kind of position, you need to take notice on how this guy treats people. He loves them, and he gives them dignity and respect, and he raises them to a level they don't even think they can be at. The picture on the left there is Deion, who has two sons on his team. He's praying with one of his kids at the very first Division I football game that they got to be a part of for Colorado, and his son is so nervous. He says, Dad, I'm nervous. His dad says, doesn't say, get over it. He says, let's pray about it. Don't you love that? What coach does that? I've never had a coach in all my years, all the way through the collegiate level, say, you know what, Matt, you've been striking out a lot. Let's pray about it. No, never had that happen. Or, hey, I'm fearful right now. Let's pray about it. No, that's never taken place. And I love this. Deion Sanders, the opposing player for TCU on that very first game, he's the coach for Colorado. He comes running out, even though it's not one of his players that's injured there on the right. And he looks at that player who has been so dominant against them, but is now injured. Look at him. I'm the coach. I'm celebrating that one, right? We took him out. Good job. Now, he comes running over, and here's what he says. By the way, Deion is a Christian. He says to this guy, son, now you know if you don't get up, they ain't got a chance. So I want you to get up, your butt up, and get this game back and be dominant like you've been dominant all over us. Now, what coach says that? I want you to get healthy. I want you to get back to playing, and I want you to be dominant. Wait a minute. Your dominancy has been over us. What an encourager. And every time you see that guy, whether it was the first game or yesterday's game, he's down the sidelines, tapping kids on the head, loving on them, telling them great tackle, great job, and he's becoming the great mentor to these young men that they haven't seen. They've only experienced darkness kinds of coaching. You ever been a part of those kind of teams, right? Oh boy. And now here comes this light, and he has lifted and elevated that team's ability to something beyond. How about you be that kind of person? Where you can walk into the room, you can walk into your company, you can walk into your break room, you can walk into your home, and there is darkness, there's whatever going on there, and it's bleakness, and you can lift it all up because you have been like Jesus to them. No one lights a lamp and puts it under a bowl. They light a lamp, and it brings light to everyone in the home. I want to be that kind of person. You don't want to be like Jesus to people. Here's the second reason why this is important. Everyone needs Jesus to be their Savior. Amen? Everybody needs Jesus to be the Savior. Be the light means that you're going to help others find their way to Jesus. You're not the Savior, okay? So you don't quit having the Savior complex. You're not winning anybody over to Jesus. Jesus is going to win people over to himself, okay? You don't have the power to do that. You're just showing them who Jesus is. You're just being a witness of the light. You're just testifying and doing good deeds like Christ would do. Your life's to be attractive and to illuminate. But Jesus is the Savior. The church isn't the Savior. Jesus is the Savior. And one thing we need to be mindful of that we can get so consumed by is our busyness. And in our busyness, we just forget. In our running around, we fail to recognize these folks that are around us that are in darkness. Listen, I'm guilty of this just as much as you are. That we get so consumed with life and doing life and getting kids to school and getting ourselves to work and trying to plan our own future financially and trying to make plans for the next day and just trying to make things that are squared away in our own life that we forget about the lives of other people that don't have the hope that we have in Christ Jesus. And our pursuit here is to make better the lives of others by illuminating their lives with good deeds because Jesus Christ is doing good things within us. And one of the things that we become neglectful of so quickly is that everyone spends forever somewhere. Everyone spends forever somewhere. And friends, that's not church dogma. That's actually the words of Jesus. Jesus talks about spending forever somewhere in John 3. And I want to give you a simplified version called the Message. It says, God didn't go to all the trouble of sending his son merely to point out an accusing finger, telling the world how bad it was. Don't you love that? God didn't go around pointing fingers at people, judging them and condemning them. So don't you be doing that either. That's no way to share the light. He came to help, to put the world right again. Anyone who trusts in him is acquitted. I love that language. I love the language of the court because I stand guilty before God because of my sins. But when I put my trust in Jesus for the forgiveness of my sins, I stand acquitted, meaning I am free of all charges. I'm not guilty. Anyone who refuses to trust him has long since been under the death sentence without knowing it. And why? Because of that person's failure to believe in the one-of-a-kind Son of God when introduced to him. Friends, bring the light to people because Jesus says it's a matter of spiritual importance because hell is real and heaven is real. So whose world do you need to illuminate with Jesus? That if you were to talk to them today, you'd discover that they're outside of Christ, they're running from God, that they're far from him. And if they were to die tomorrow, they wouldn't be in that place with God in heaven. They would be in that dangerous place because of their disbelief called hell. Everybody needs Jesus as Savior. How about we start pointing the way to Jesus? Here's the third part. Everyone wants to be close to God. Hey, I'm one of these preachers that just happens to believe that every single one of us has a desire to get back to the Garden of Eden with God without the hindrance of our sins. That we want to get close to God. Some of us don't know how to do it. Some of us would even deny that, but the scripture says in Ecclesiastes that every human, man and woman, has eternity planted in our hearts. You ever heard preachers use this kind of the illustration to say we have a God-shaped hole in our hearts? That we're wired by our Creator so that we'll have a connection with our Creator? That's true. We've been created in God's image, so we have a desire to be with God and to know God. And every one of us has these kind of thoughts, fleeting thoughts maybe, about what's next for us, because we all know that there's death, and even though we don't try to think of it, we know that there's something that lies beyond the veil of death because eternity has been planted in our hearts. Now, I want you to think about all the people that don't have the assurance that you do about what lies beyond the veil of death. You see, if you were to die today as a believer, you have the assurance because of Christ Jesus and the forgiveness of his sins that you're not acquitted and you have forevermore living in eternity of heaven with God. Now, that's nothing to be scared about, is it? But there are so many, billions of people and people whom you love that don't have that same assurance of Christ. Jesus tells us, I tell you the truth, those who listen to my message and believe in God who sent me have eternal life. So if you believe in Christ, you can have eternal life. That's assurance. They'll never be condemned for their sins. I love that. He's not going to boomerang those things back. When things get messy, he's not going to get historical. You met people who get historical with things? They start getting hysterical, then they get historical, and they tell you all the bad things you did in 1980, 1990, 2000, 2010, etc. God's never going to do that. He says they've already passed from death to life, meaning that you have already been assured of a heavenly home when you believe in Jesus Christ. Friends, there are people in our world today that they want that, but they just don't know how to receive that. Or they've been turned off by that, either by a church or by Christians that haven't lived up to being the light of Jesus Christ in their world. And here's what I've discovered about people by being a pastor. People are found happiness. They can find happiness, but they can't find lasting joy. People can find comfort, but they can't find lasting peace. You know what I'm talking about? They can find peace in a moment, but they can't find peace for tomorrow. They can find peace for today, but when they start thinking about their future, they can't find peace in that. They certainly can't find peace about what happens when we stop breathing and our heart stops pumping. Friends, only Jesus can give us that kind of peace, that assurance that when we believe in him, that we'll have the gift of eternal life, and that will rest your mind for today and tomorrow, that God's got this, that whatever happens and comes my way, God's got this. But there are a lot of people living right now that don't think God's got this. And that's why they're complaining, and that's why they're in darkness, and that's why they're bickering, and that's why they're anxious, and that's why they're so fearful. They're fearful of the journey of life. That's it, just fearful of the journey of life. Because they know they don't have control over the next minute, or the next months, or the next years, or the next decade. And they certainly don't believe they have control over what happens after they die. I met this guy on a trip just recently. I didn't really meet him. Actually, I want to forget him. He was one of these trips that I got on the plane and put my luggage in the overhead bin. And as I did, I made the mistake of not checking the bin. And I put my bag in, and I hear this guy said, "You didn't crush my bleepity bleep hat, did you?" And I did. I crushed his bleepity bleep hat. And I pulled out my bag, and I see his straw fedora. You know what I'm talking about? Come on, man. It looked like a cheap straw fedora, but, you know, it didn't matter to him. It was his hat. And I pull it out, and of course, it's smashed up. I try to reshape it in front of him, and he's yelling at me. By the way, he's already a Coke and Jack Daniels deep into our flight, and we haven't even closed the doors yet. So that, you know what kind of guy I'm dealing with right now. And so I pull out the hat, I show him, and I reform, and I said, "Man, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to do that." And he said, "Well, you should have checked." "Yeah, I should have checked." And I'm trying to calm him down, and it just so happened to be that he was my seatmate. Of course he was. And so I put the bag back, I try to settle him down. He will not let it go. So I say to him, "Hey, whatever that thing costs, I know it's expensive, I'll pay you back right now, I'll write you a check, I'll Venmo you, I'll do whatever you need me to do to send you money and get that hat taken care of. We can right now even buy it online." "No, that's not it, he's just got so upset at me. And finally I looked at him like he's one of my kids. Now this guy is like old, okay? He reminded me of Donald Sutherland. If you know that actor, that's who this dude was. I looked over at him and I just say, "End it." Because that's the kind of guy I am. And I'm like, "Dude, you got to get," I didn't say this, but I was thinking, "You got to get busy living or get busy dying. I don't know what you're doing here, but I'm not spending 3 hours with you this way." And so I apologized for the hat, and I'm like, "So outside of the hat, how's your day going?" "Not good," right? "Of course it's not going good. Nothing's going good." I'm like, "Okay, what are you doing on the flight? Where are you going?" Right? And so he tells me he's going to his daughter's. He doesn't like his daughter's, doesn't like his grandkids. He's got to go spend the time at his daughter's because he doesn't have enough money, because he's got to go to some doctor's appointment. And that's when I notice he's in shorts and he's in Jerusalem cruisers. That's Jesus sandals. No old man should be in those, by the way, just side note. And I look down and I recognize there's something wrong with his legs. I could physically see that there's something wrong with his legs. And he's telling me about these doctor's appointments they have, and the doctors don't care, and he can't get the right treatments, etc. He is bitter. He's grumpy. And the next thing I know, as I'm talking to the flight attendant, I look back over, and he's asleep, and I'm thinking, "Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus." So I did not get to be a great light to him. I did not get to tell him about Jesus. But man, I heard the extreme about what I'm hearing from the world right now in him. How scared and fearful they are about their journey in life. And when they're scared and fearful, nothing goes right for them, and nothing is right for them. Friends, that guy had so much darkness. If I would have just flipped the switch and turned on the light a little bit, I could have illuminated Jesus Christ in his darkness, because it just takes a little bit of light for some people who are in extreme darkness. And I'm finding that this world is getting into an extreme darkness, and it doesn't take much. I've said it before, but it's good to be in the flashlight business when the power goes out. And y'all, you're in the flashlight business. And you need to be shining the light into people's darkness. Because all of us have this hole in our heart, and we want God, but we don't know how to get there. And that journey has led us everywhere but to God. And some of us just need to light the way to God himself through Jesus. Hey, this is important because we need to remember all the way back to the time that we were lost. What's the old song? I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. I know some of you have been in church so long, you can't even remember being lost. Like, I don't know, this is all I've ever known. I remember the time when I was lost. I thought I was found, but I was lost. That might be you. I was in the church, grew up in the church, 18 years old, finally. And I just went to church because that's where my friends went. I just went to church because it was the cool thing to do. It was a large church, influential church. It had a lot of things going on, an amazing youth group. So that's why I was at church. And there was a lot of cute girls at church. And that's when I met Jason. Jason was about 5 years older than me. Jason started to invest in me, not like, you know, it wasn't anything too noticeable. He just kind of showed me Jesus. Because the way I was raised in church was that we cared a lot about the monument. We cared a lot about the facilities. You know what I'm talking about? You've been to a church like that? We cared a lot about the things that happened to the church. We cared a lot about the building of the church. But we didn't really have a lot of care for teaching people about the grace and freedom in Christ. So I didn't really know grace and freedom so much. I really didn't know unconditional love so much about God. And Jason just demonstrated that, just might be hanging around him. And I wanted the freedom of Christ that I found in him by watching Jason be Jesus to me. And I recognized that his faith and my faith were two different things. That mine was one of ritualism. Mine was the one about being good. Mine was about trying to appease God. And his was just simply being in a relationship with God through Jesus and relying on Jesus for grace. And he was a great man. And I wanted to be like Jason, because Jason is like Jesus. And because Jason illuminated Jesus into my life, I wanted to illuminate Jesus into other people's life as well. Friends, I'm here to tell you that you got to go back to see how far God's brought you. Once you were lost, and someone shined the light of Christ into your life, and you received that light, and it changed you forevermore. This last summer, I was in Marengo Cave. You ever been in there and done the tour of the Marengo Cave tour? Go see the Marengo Cave tour. They search you through there. It's kind of winding around. It's just an hour and 40 minutes away. It's a great little place of Indiana. I didn't even receive promotional money for that. I was just telling you. And so we get down in the cave, and they do this little thing, right? They're like, okay, we're going to turn all the lights off. Boop, they turn off the lights. And it's not 1 second, 2 seconds, 3 seconds. It's like 30 seconds, and I'm beginning to freak out. Because I put my hand in front of my face, I'm like, I can't see my hand. You can't see nothing, man, down there in that cave. And I'm like, if the lights don't come back on, we're all in trouble here. We're all gonna die in this cave, because there's no way we're gonna get our way out, because there's no light whatsoever. Listen, some people are trapped in that kind of darkness. They don't think there's any way or escape out of there. And they just need some hope. They just need some hope. And that's what light is. The lights came back on, you're like, whoo, thank God for some light here. And Jesus says about himself in this world, John 12, he says, I've come into this world as a light. Jesus says, I've come into this world as a light so that no one who believes in me should stay in darkness. Like, there's no reason to stay in darkness. Listen, I get it. People are turned off by church. People are turned off by, you know, Christians that aren't living up to being the light of Christ. I understand that. But Jesus captivates people's attention. He becomes an irresistible light. So why are we not being witnesses to that light? Like you know, John the Baptist was. You remember the words of Jesus says, you're the light of the world, a city on a hill can't be hidden, so don't be hidden. But then it talks about John the Baptist, and it says in John 1, he was not the light, but he's only come as a witness to the light. That's what we're being called to do, to be witnesses of who Jesus is. Like, guiding people to Christ, just like the stars were used as navigational devices to guide people to their destination. That's who we are. Just like beacons at an airport guide pilots back to safe landing in foggy conditions. Just like lighthouses on a shore keep sailors away from the danger of the rocks and lead them into safe harbor. Just like, you know, those rumble strips that light up at night. Thank God for those things in the darkness. My eyes aren't as good as they used to be. And it helps keep me in the lanes and out of the ditches to get me home safely. That's who we're to be to this world. Just guiding people to Jesus so that we can get to our destination, and that is Christ. Friends, Jesus came as a light, he says, to guide people to God. How about we guide people to Jesus and bring them into a relationship with God through Christ Jesus? This sounds simple, doesn't it? And friends, I believe that God can use all of us to do this. He's been using us for a long time now, and I don't think he's done using us. We just have to get out of the way, and we have to stop our personal agenda. We have to start thinking of others with a clear perspective of heaven and hell, and that we have to start living like Jesus and arranging our lives that way, in such a way to get back to what Jesus has said in John 12. If I be lifted up, I'll draw all men to me. That we just lift up Jesus. We lift up Jesus in our workplace, lift up Jesus in our homes, our schools, our places of that we own, anywhere that we're in a sporting event, we're lifting up Jesus. That we're not losing our minds, we're not going to the bait that our coworkers give us to find a grumpy attitude. No, we're just going to be positive. We're going to be lights of Christ in the areas where we're at. Because when I lift up Jesus, Jesus will draw men to him. I love what one preacher said. I took these words to heart. I want my life to be so attractive that people who know me but don't know God will want to know God because they know me. Don't you want to be that kind of believer? That kind of follower? That kind of light? That your life is so attractive so that the people who know me but don't know God will want to know God because they know me. Today, I want you to consider who it is that you need to love to Jesus. I just want you to consider, because that's what these next 3 weeks are all about in the series Illuminate. It's about finding someone personally in my life that I can really be the light of Jesus to, because I'm recognizing they're trapped in spiritual darkness. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to recognize the moments God gives to you. Every moment God gives to you, a moment with these folks. And maybe you don't know who that is, so would you just pray? I pray a prayer every single day, a part of my daily prayer. God, would you just open my eyes so I can see the people that are far from you, and may I be able to minister to them, and may I be able to find some way to witness to them. Now listen, I'll just flat out admit to you, I don't like praying that prayer every day. Like there was last week when I was really busy in my schedule and I had things all the way through the evening. That was like, I don't want to pray this prayer because God's going to send somebody my way, like that dude on the plane, and it's just going to take time and it's going to be an interruption. But I reluctantly prayed that prayer. God, would you, because I am to be a light in this world. And friends, there's people in darkness and I don't want to be so selfish. I don't want to be that guy. I don't want to be so apathetic to people that are trapped in darkness that I'm only thinking about myself. And God's going to put some people in your path if you just start praying. God, may I see today those that you bring my way. God is going to bring intersections into that person that you're thinking about right now that's in darkness. He's going to bring intersections to people that you don't even know that are trapped in darkness, and he's arranged for that meeting. And you just need to realize the moments that God gives to you. Listen to what people are saying. Listen to how they're saying it. Pay attention to them. Bring words of encouragement. They get enough discouragement in this world. Listen, I know we can't be positive people all the time. I understand that, right? That's just almost, it's almost weird if you become that person. But what I'm saying is you don't have to buy into their downness. You don't have to take the bait all the time. You can just simply not say anything at all. Or you can have some kind of constructive thing to say. But you can be an encourager. You can definitely find some way to be in light as you realize the moments that God brings to you. It's not hard. You see, what I found out is apathy notices but does nothing. Love notices and does something. I want to be a person that loves. I want to be a person that shines the light of Christ into people's darkness. And so as you're considering who it is that you need to be illuminating Christ to, maybe you need to also rearrange the manner of your lifestyle. Now, this is a tough subject. I get it. We can't spend a lot of time on it, but I'm just going to just take a swipe. Before you change the world, you got to allow Christ Jesus to change you. And some of you, you say you're followers of Christ, but there's not a whole lot that looks like Jesus. And the reason why you find it difficult to illuminate the darkness of your workplace or your home is because you don't have a lot of light in you. And you look around and you go, wow, I'm not much better than these folks. Matter of fact, my life's not much more attractive or different. Is your life really been arranged in a manner that allows the light to shine brightly? You may not be able to change the world of the people around you, but you can change and control the world that's within you. And you need to allow God's Holy Spirit to do something within you and change some things about you. Your speech should be different. Your lifestyle should be different. Your attitude should be different than the rest of the world's. You don't believe me? That's what the fruits of the Spirit are all about, aren't they? Galatians 5 tells us about these fruits, and it tells us that every single follower of Jesus, if you want to really know if you're a follower of Jesus, you're going to see these fruits being developed in you. That doesn't mean they're ripened and completed. That just means they're being developed. Things like love and joy and peace and patience and kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And it's not that you're just seeing one of those fruits. You're seeing all of those fruits. And boy, if you showed up to a place that's in extreme darkness, and you were to brightly shine love and joy and peace and patience and kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, people would say, who is this person? Who is this? I want to be just like this person. Because you would be just like Jesus. Because those are the attributes that Christ brings to our life. And friends, Galatians 5, the fruits of the Spirit, are all about the ways in which we illuminate people's lives from the darkness that they're in. Don't believe me? Go on to read Galatians 5, and it talks about people who are stuck in darkness and the wickedness of those who are trapped in darkness and how people of the light don't live that way. They look differently. So what is the thing, or what are the things, plural, that you need to change in your life and hand over to the Lord so that you can be a greater light to people who are in their darkness? Because God ain't playing around with people's souls. And he's, for whatever reason, put you and me as the light of the world. Lastly, recognize at least one person who needs the light of Jesus Christ. Would you do that? That's what this is about, personal evangelism, taking this seriously. Recognize at least one person, could be a spouse, could be a kid, could be a parent, could be a grandparent, could be aunt, uncle, the list goes on and on, could be a coworker, someone that you know right now who God's dropped into your heart, that person needs to be the one that you illuminate Christ to because they're in darkness. And would you just be prayerful about them? Would you just speak their name before the Lord? Be prayerful. Say, God, I pray for this person, either right now they're an enemy or they're a neighbor or they're a spouse. I just want to love on them the best way I can. Or God, maybe I don't know this person right now. Would you drop into my heart someone that I can illuminate and really pursue to shine the light of Christ into their darkness? But be positive. Man, I am so tired of the argumentative Christian. I am so tired of the argumentative Christian. So tired of Christians arguing against one another. Golly, I'm so tired of that. I'm so tired of Christians going on social media arguing over stupid things like politics and opinions and financial matters. Come on, man. We got so much better things to offer. Non-Christians know everything we're against. But do they know what we're about? Do they know what we're about? Man, we should be hope in every single room. We should be the ones that are unconditionally loving. We should be the ones that are just like Jesus. When Jesus walked in the room, no one went, oh, great, here comes Jesus. He welcomed that. So be positive. And I know that's not easy for some of us because we've been so negative for so long. But say, Christ, would you do a good work in me? I don't want to be this attitude anymore. I want to be just like your son. I want to be a good representative. Would you also be pure? Some of you are going to take this challenge here in just a minute. You're going to look at this as a pet project. I know how some of you operate. You're like, he gave me a challenge. I'm going to check mark that one off. I've got this pet project right here, and I'm going to make this thing happen. This person's going to be coming to the Lord here in 90 days or less. Listen, this is not a pet project. Would you just be authentic and genuine with people? They're going to recognize all of a sudden you're different. They're going to recognize someone. You heard a sermon somewhere. God's captured your heart somehow. They're going to say, why are you being so nice to me? Why'd your attitude change? Hey, you could easily tell them, look, God's doing a good work in me. And I want God to do a good work in you. And you have pure motivations, genuine ones. But be persistent too, because this could take some time. People are not going to immediately respond to good deeds. They're not going to immediately respond to your kindness. It's just not going to happen. Be purposeful. Be purposeful. And what I mean by that is, I want you to pray about this. I really want you to make purpose of this. So here's what we're doing today. And here's why I want you to make it purposeful. I want every single one of you who's a follower of Jesus to follow through with this. At all of our campuses, there's light boards. They say Jesus. I think there's 2,800 bulbs that can go on the board here at Washington. I want you to immediately leave this place after we're done worshiping here. And I know there's going to be a line. Fine. There's going to be a line. I want you to grab one of those LED bulbs that are in a basket. I want you to write down with a Sharpie on the bulb a person's name that you know is in spiritual darkness and that they need the light of Christ illuminated in them. And then I want you to forevermore remember that name and be a light into their darkness until they come and receive Jesus. And I can't think of a better tangible reminder than you writing that down, you taking that bulb, you placing it in the socket and illuminating Jesus. And every single Sunday you walk in here and you look over to your left as you walk in and you recognize I'm to illuminate Jesus in that person's life. Every single Sunday. And then every time you drive by this church, that's going to be blazing. It's going to be every, it's like, was it Motel 6? Motel, I don't know. We'll leave the light on for you. Is it going to be illuminating? The bill's going to be up over the next 3 years. That's fine. Electric bill's going to be up. It's LED. Don't worry about it. But every time you drive by in the middle of the night, you're going to see Jesus illuminated. Just a reminder that you're to be the light of Christ in someone's life. And let's get serious about this. Because I've got loved ones in my life right now that are running from God, running hard from the Lord. And I don't want them running from the Lord. I want them walking with God. Don't you? And I want to be mindful of it. And sometimes I just get forgetful of it because I get so busy with life. And I forget that people are in darkness. I recently read this story about a woman named Rose Crawford. It's an old story. Old story. It's a story that's used oftentimes in the medical profession to remind medical professionals that they need to convey to their patients the latest procedures, that they need to be mindful of their patients' conditions, and what is out there for them to help remedy their ailments. And Rose Crawford is a lady that received treatment for her blind for 50 years. She received treatment for her blindness in an Ontario hospital and had this procedure, 50 years of blindness. She comes out of the procedure, and after the procedure, she can see perfectly. I can't imagine what that would be like. And they take off the bandages, and she can see perfectly. And the sad part about her story is she could have had this procedure 30 years ago. She didn't have to wait the full 50, except for she didn't know about the procedure because the doc in her life just kind of was absent-minded about her condition. And they both accepted the darkness. Isn't that crazy? She never even asked, like, is there anything we can do over the 50-year time period? And the doctor never revealed that to her because he was just absent-minded about her condition. How absent-minded can I get about someone's condition? I mean, I can be just like that. I meet with people all the time. I just forget about the people that are in spiritual darkness that I need to be the light of Christ to, and conscious that I could be the only Jesus that they ever get to see. So here's my prayer. My prayer is one, that as a follower of Jesus, that we take this seriously, the simple message of Jesus to be the light into this world. You are the light of the world. There's no plan B. You are the light of the world. But if you're in today's spiritual darkness and you're hearing my words and you don't have the assurance that goes beyond death through Christ Jesus, may I say to you that Jesus Christ has come and he is a light to this world, that he brings hope and peace and grace and comfort and freedom to you. And if you're in darkness today, would you believe and trust in him? Would you be baptized into Christ? For he welcomes you, for that's why he came, to draw all men to himself, so that you will no longer have that separation between you and God, that your journey that you're on right now will finally find fulfillment and peace because you have found what you've always been missing, and that is a relationship with God the Father, the very one who created you. And that can only be found when you come to Jesus Christ. Are you with me? God, as we close up this message today, I know it's so simple, and I know there's times when we feel like, oh, this is too easy. But Father, may you just remind us how important this is to live like you, to live for you, and for us to yield so that you would live through us. And I know that we have our agendas and we have the things that we want to just go through in life, but may we be just more conscious of the people that are in darkness. May we take this seriously today. May we walk out of here and grab a bulb, write down a name, and be mindful of whom we can illuminate Christ Jesus into someone's darkness. So Father, may we do a better job at this. Forgive us where we've sloughed off. Forgive us where we've just kind of shucked our duty on this one. And may we just be today and forevermore great witnesses of who you are and great testimonies of what you can do through a changed life like us. And we pray in Christ's name.